All right, welcome to the Drive Podcast with Zach Pugh, Chris Woody, and the producer, Bailey, in the room with us today.
I know, I like it.
Isn't that good stuff?
It is. Yeah. She is really engaged right now in our production as she plays on her phone. That's comforting knowing that she's at the helm. Good job, Bailey.
That's what I'm here for.
Yep, and so there we go. I love this music I picked today.
I'm glad you love that music, Zach.
I'll take it out. I'll say this. You know, it's hard to...
We don't have pre-production meetings about music.
No, we don't. It's hard to... There's plenty of royalty-free music out there for us to use, but...
Well, we'll get some music. We've got ideas on that too.
It's not been on my to-do list to do. So
we could write our own. By we, I mean not me.
That's where I'm going with that. Okay. I think we've got some talented musicians here in house that could maybe put together the podcast theme song.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Let's do it.
A good point.
Let's do it right now.
So, not like right.
Can we do this and we can't do this and that at the same time?
No.
All right. Let's do this first.
What's going on today? We got some fresh fish.
Yes.
Some new blood.
It has been a busy day. We got a couple new drivers in and that we're very, very excited about. The first one is not, he's an old new driver, Richard Hawkins. You know, he was here a couple years ago, did a fantastic job for us. And family circumstances, and he moved back to South Carolina, and what they had going on out there didn't work out, and it came back and contacted us, and we were like, "Heck yeah, let's get back together." And
sweet.
He's going to be great, I'm sure. And we got Mr. Chris Layrock. Chris Layrock is driving out of Memphis. He's got a ton of experience. He's a really good guy. And so, you see Chris, say hi to him, introduce yourself, and see Richard be bopping around here. Don't be surprised. It's not a ghost from the past. He's really back.
That's awesome. It's always good when guys come back to M&W, and I think it just, you know, there may be greener pastures out there. You know, people think they're greener pastures, but I think we really, really do a great job with our guys.
Ain't no greener than that M&W green.
I agree. Pun intended, right?
It was intended, but it did just come to me like 1 second ago.
Oh, good.
That's how fast I work. I'm about 1 second in the past.
So we're basically middle of May here, and it's going to be hot this week. I was looking. It's going to be in the 90s the rest of the week, like upper 90s. So summer has – I feel like the last couple of years we haven't even gotten a spring. You just feel like it's summertime.
Well, that's fine with me, except for when summer hits outside and it's 90 outside, everybody thinks that B building should be, you know,
68.
Like – yeah, or lower.
I'm fine with 68. I'm okay with 68.
No.
That's the problem, and it happens. I'm sure this happens in every office. Drivers, you may not deal with this as much because you're in a climate-controlled cabin. I know it's hot out there when you guys have got to get out and do stuff, but you pretty much can set the temperature for what you want it to be, whether you tend to be hot or tend to be cold. In an office, you've got a bunch of bodies. Some people are hot. Some people are cold. It's amazing to me. It'll be 95 degrees outside, and I think there's more usage of heaters in offices in the summertime than in the wintertime.
Here's my point. All right. I get that it's hotter outside. And just follow my logic on this, okay? If we, let's say we all agreed on a temperature. Say it's 71.
Okay.
Inside this building, if it's 71, that 71 is the same in December as it is in August. So why can't we leave it on 71?
See, I just disagree with that.
And because there is no effect from outside. That thermostat does what it's supposed to do to keep everything at the right temperature.
But a cooled 71 is different than a heated 71. It's kind of like there's humidity involved in it. I know it's technically the same
temperature. I wish our listeners could see the look that I just looked at you with.
I know the temperature is exactly the same, but it's a different kind of temperature because what's happening is it's hot, and so there's air blowing in, which makes colder people colder. In the wintertime, it's cold, and there's hot air blowing in, making it warmer. So it's different.
It's different.
It is.
The temperature is exactly the same, but it's a different... I do not accept it's what you just said. So the solution that I've seen that is the most common solution is to stand in front of the thermostat, angrily hitting the down button, going, dang, it's cold outside, or dang, it's hot outside, and way overcompensating. That's all I'm saying. Be patient.
I don't disagree that we should probably pick a number and just stick with it.
Are you willing to put that? This is going down on wax. Are you putting that in the record that you are willing to pick a temperature and leave it there?
I don't mess with a thermostat. Very rarely do I ever. I'd say once or twice a month, maybe. Not even on average. I couldn't tell you the last time I touched a thermostat.
I don't. I gave up because I know I'm in the minority, but exactly what you were talking
the
about. That's why my heater is running right now. It's 90 degrees outside,
yes,
and my heater is running in my office.
That's what
right
I'm
now.
Talking about. And, I mean, I think the problem, too, is that we've got, you know, we're in a warehouse.
Yeah.
That is not temperature controlled.
No, I'll give you that.
And, you know, you're going by what you got. Now, when we built the new addition on and the new building, see where all the sales folks are now, we did some things to make that a little better. We used a spray foam this time, and you know that building's obviously a 2019 building, and so there's some technological advances that we were able to use to make it better. But that struggle doesn't just end at work. It's at home. You know, my kids are always complaining about how cold or hot it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, in the wintertime, I don't run the heat.
You really?
Because it's like, no.
You are a monster.
When I get home most days in the wintertime, it's 55 degrees in my house, and I will turn it up to 60 to warm.
Wow.
The house, and then when I go to bed, I turn it back. I turn it off and just let it fall to whatever it falls to.
It no matter what it falls to, it's like 20 degrees outside.
Well, we had a really mild winter, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if it was going to be a night where it got down to like 20 degrees or, you know, 15 degrees, 10 degrees below zero, yes, I would put it on a minimum of like 55, you know, where it's like it's heating at 55 degrees in the house. But it's like my thing is you can always put more clothes on. So if you're cold, put a sweatshirt on or put some pants on.
There's a reason why I wear a jacket every day.
Yeah, so I'm going to call you out here. By that logic, then we should just let it do what it does and not turn it down so cold when it gets so hot outside. Because you don't jack it up when it gets really cold.
I wouldn't
outside.
Call this hypocrisy, but no, I do. Like that's kind of the word. Like I look like I'll save money in the wintertime because when it comes to summertime, I'm running the air conditioner.
Well, maybe we should get M&W like tank tops and shorts for everybody, and we could go your way.
That is the biggest HR violation I've heard yet.
Yeah, Bailey is Bailey walks around. She is an H. So Bailey's our HR generalist, and so she's fresh out of college, and so she knows the rule book, you know, front and back.
And expects us to play by the rules.
She's kind of like a Barney Fife of HR people.
Oh no, she's
that's
Andy.
Rude.
No,
she's the sheriff.
Not Andy. She doesn't have the authority yet of Andy.
Sure, she does. She could have fired you 17 times over. Probably.
I get three
by
strikes
now.
A day.
Okay.
Don't I? That's off the record.
I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And officially on the record, and the actual truth of it is, we're just joking around. We keep it. Pretty professional.
We absolutely keep it very professional here. But anyway,
we play around. But there is nothing.
Bailey does all the time.
I want to know what's HR wrong with shorts and tank tops and shirts.
That's what I'm talking
about. Technically, it goes against our policy for office wear.
See,
yeah, but we're the ones that wrote that. We can just change it.
This is funny.
It's on my computer.
Depends on your version of
it. Let me do what you just did to me. We didn't technically write it. Some lawyers wrote it, and it's very specific about what we can and can't do in our rule book.
Not on the dress code thing. I'm pretty sure we wrote that.
Well, somebody wrote it.
Somebody wrote it. I know I've rewritten it at least once.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Do right. we go?
And we have reviewed it in 2019, and we didn't change it.
We are very buttoned up here at M&W. Like, we don't push the bar. We're very HR conscious. That's our, you know, public service announcement. But in all seriousness, that's what Bailey does.
Yes.
You know, she
does a great job.
Technically, too. You know, and she keeps us in line. So it's good stuff.
Well, that was a great podcast about thermostats.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that are dealing with that right now. It's going to be hot, and like I said, I'm a single man, so all I've got to deal with are my kids periodically complaining, and my kids have learned. They just wear sweatshirts around the house all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just that's what they do, and they're cool, and they, you know, that's life for them. They understand it. But I know there's a lot of people with spouses, and there's a battle. Do you have a battle in your home, or are you and your wife on the same page there?
No, I mean, we're pretty much on the same page. We don't agree, but after about 17 or 18 years, we came to an agreement after, you know, each of us.
You came to an agreement, or she came to an agreement with you?
No, we came to an agreement. We don't fight about anything.
Oh, wow.
She's awesome.
That's incredible. You got a good woman, then?
Of course.
That's awesome.
The best.
So what's the agreement?
I don't even know what the number is. I haven't even looked at it in so long, because we do what I was just suggesting. We've settled on a number, and then we never touch it. We never look at it.
And it just stays.
It just stays right where it is.
The only thing you flip is the cool or the heat,
mm-hmm.
depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
Are you a auto fan guy or a fan on all the time guy?
Auto fan.
Auto fan. Yeah. What about you, Bailey?
Auto fan.
Now, you're in an apartment though, right?
I'm in an apartment.
Yeah. Do you have?
Just me and my cat.
Just you and your cat.
So. Ain't no one complaining but me.
Yeah. Yeah. You just go change it to whatever you want
Don't
it to be.
Listen to the cat. Cats are free. You can get another cat.
This one is not free anymore.
Yeah, you had to go deal with something today, didn't you?
I just took him. He's a year old, so I had to take him to the vet.
Well, it's exciting. It's exciting world of singleness, you know? The highlight of your day for me, you know, was going to lunch at home and eating a salad I made yesterday.
Nice.
And Bailey's was taking her cat to the vet. Isn't that exciting?
It's thrilling. I'm super jealous of you guys' rock and roll lifestyle.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about summer vacation. Since it's so hot outside, we've addressed that, and temperature-controlled offices. Now we're going to talk about maybe some exciting things coming up for summer. And again, drivers, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear kind of what you have going on this summer, what's going on in your trucks. You know, when you hear these podcasts, we'd love for you to reach back out to us and kind of tell us what you're thinking, and we'd love to hear some ideas and as well.
Hit us up. Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, and we're on Spotify now, so you should be able to find us. We're pretty much everywhere.
That was exciting to see us on Spotify today.
So we'll talk about that in a second, but this is the Drive Podcast with Zach and Chris. We'll be right back. What would it be like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you're ready to retire, so is your bank account? Depending on where you are right now, that might sound crazy. But we want to help make it a reality for you and your family, and starting will only take 5 minutes. Smart Dollar is your free, 100% online, company-provided financial wellness benefit. This program gives you the practical steps, tools, and inspiration you need to make retiring a millionaire a reality. We call this the Millionaire Movement. When you follow the plan, Smart Dollar can help take you from living paycheck to paycheck to being able to save, invest, and give like no one else. Millions of people, just like you, have used this 7-step process to save their first emergency fund, eliminate debt, invest wisely, and even pay off their homes. The average user saves more than $6,127 and pays off $9,405 in the first 12 months. So what are you waiting for? Smart Dollar has been adding new tools and content all year long, so go check it out. Text MWL to 33789 on your smartphone, or you can call me direct at 615-620-1540 for more information. Again, text MWL to 33789 on your smartphone. Or again, you can call me, Zach Pugh, anytime at 615-620-1540 for more information. Start living financially free today. It's changed my life and can change yours as well.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Drive Podcast. We got Zach Pugh, I'm Chris Woody, and we've got our producer, Bailey Walters. And so, Zach, you wanted to talk about stuff coming up.
Yeah,
this summer.
We
started talking summer. So tell us what's going on this summer. And
well, I mean,
with
it's
you,
just, it's more about. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm. This is. I always tell people this next week specifically more is like my Christmas.
And that is
going up to Indy for the Indy 500. It's exciting. I know all of our drivers are racing fans. Probably more on the NASCAR side, but that's how I came to M&W.
Well, we've got a lot of drivers that probably are very, very interested in the 500.
Yeah, and especially all of our drivers up in Indianapolis, for sure. So a lot of you know that I came to M&W through some NASCAR stuff that I was doing before I came here. M&W had sponsored a car in the, at that time, the Nationwide Series. So, but yeah, this is a totally different ball game. It's definitely my favorite time of year. It's spring. You're fighting over hot and cold temps, you know, in the office, and then you get to go up to Indianapolis and watch cars turn left for 500 miles.
That sounds super. Is that how you came to M&W through that?
I did. I was working for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Right.
So we kind of talked about on a podcast before about dream jobs, and that was my dream job. I got to work at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it was phenomenal time while I was there, and really, really enjoyed myself. And so, yeah, I mean, it's fun to go back. It's different, you know, when you work at a place.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed my time there, but it was a lot different than when you just go there to be a fan. So.
So when you go back now, is there going to be a lot of people there that you know? And
yeah,
that you're
I'll see a few people, but it's such a huge place. I mean, it's like, it's a 2.5 mile oval. It's 550 some acres. Though on race day, there'll be over 350,000 people there.
That's crazy.
So
if you can even fit that many people in one place.
So it's I'll see a few people, but they're also in work mode. You know, it's the biggest event. It's one of the biggest. It is the single largest sporting event in the world, and obviously they're in full go mode. You know, all their customers and clients and everybody's there. But it's a great event, and I would tell anybody that's got any kind of sports mentality, you should try to go one time. And even if you're not a sports fan, it's actually a pretty cool event from just a people watching standpoint to go to.
I guess after, you know, you get 350,000 through there, there's bound to be a handful that are
absolutely
a little wacky.
A few inebriated, absolutely. So, but it's a big weekend in Indianapolis. I know, like I said, I know a lot of our Indianapolis drivers, whether they may not go to the race, but it's definitely Memorial Day tradition to be out on the boat. You know, Bailey's from northern Indiana. She's not from Indianapolis, but she was even telling me stories about how most people in Indiana, you're cooking out and you've got the radio on and the race is on in the background.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago being up there and, we had taken the Indy guys out for driver appreciation. Mm-hmm. And part of that, you had put together a nice little package where they got to go watch qualifying from a suite. It was like totally top notch done. And I didn't get to go to that event, but as you guys were coming back, I was going in, not even thinking about the race, and everybody else in the world was.
Yeah.
I was going up there to work.
I had some
stuff to do in Indianapolis, and I couldn't get I waited till the last minute to get a hotel room. It was like, I can always get a hotel in Indy. And there was
I remember that now.
Place to be found.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And there was a ton of people in town.
I remember that.
It was absolutely wild.
I remember. And that, what a unique perspective for somebody, you know, that's like going up there just for business. And I always joke about this. I always laughed especially for, like, you know, I've been to a lot of racetracks, and the racetrack in Bristol, Tennessee, you know, it's a, you know, it's a little half mile, but they've got 160,000 people come to that race back in its heyday, and there's like a 4-lane highway that goes by it, and it's a kind of a, you know, a lot of people will pass through there going from, like, if you were coming from Tennessee or into Virginia, like, it's a way to go.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of get off the interstate and kind of cut through if you're trying to get to the mountains. And I've always, it always made me laugh, like, because, you know, there's like a few people who have no idea that it's race weekend.
Oh, right.
And they're just driving through, and it's like, what's all this traffic for? Why are cars parked on the side of the road? And then they get stuck in traffic for 3 hours to go like 2 miles. And it's like, yeah, you made the poor decision to, drive by a massive speedway on race day. But but yeah, I mean, what a crazy perspective, because that's the thing, even if you're not a race fan, it's such a giant event that encompasses so many things. The city, there's a giant parade. In fact, the parade on Saturday is the largest non-holiday parade, you know, right. Like, I think it's like third behind Macy's and the Rose Bowl parade.
Wow.
So it is a huge parade. There'll be hundreds of thousands of people downtown for that. So even if you're not going to the racetrack on Sunday, chances are you were uninvolved or did an event while you were there.
Well, yeah, it's huge. I mean, even if you don't know much about sports or racing or anything, yeah. I mean, you know, the Indy 500 is a thing.
Absolutely. So, and I got to go in 1989 was my first race, and 92 was my second, and then I haven't missed a race since 1996. So this is my 23rd in a row, and my 25th overall. So,
wow. So just as Bailey was being born, you started your streak.
That's right.
Basically.
Yeah. Because you were born. We talked about this the other day. You were in 1996.
May 1996.
Yeah. I haven't missed a race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I'll close on this, because I'm sure people are like, who cares? But it is interesting to me. Like, this is one of my true loves. You know, like, yeah. I love Tennessee football. For those who know me, giant Tennessee fan. Love my family, love my kids, but I know, like, unless I'm laid up dead in a hospital, on the last Sunday in May, I will be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, that is crazy, because that's, most people couldn't say one time a year that here's where I know I will be.
Like, that's true,
guaranteed. You know, so I love streaks, I love traditions and things like that, and that's kind of one of the cool things about the track. So. Yeah, I mean, if you're ever looking for me and you don't know where I'm at, and it happens to be the last Sunday in May before Memorial Day, I'll probably be up in turn three at the Speedway.
All right. Well, if I'm there, I'll look for you.
Yeah, come say hi.
I don't think I'll be there, but if I find myself there.
But you're going to be there. You're going up, not for the race, but you were telling me earlier you've got some business in Indy, don't you?
Yes, I'll be in Indianapolis I guess it's the second week of June. So as everybody knows, we are about to make the switch over to full compliance with the ELD mandate. So that means we've already got ELD compliant devices, and we've had those, the same ones that we've had for a long time. But now we're going to go fully compliant with the ELD rules. And a lot of that stuff has already been in place with that last software update that we did that OmniTrack sent out, and we didn't exactly know that it was going to be sent out, and it really messed everybody up for a few days. But so everybody's pretty used to the rules now, but we're going to have to just make sure that we've got a few things straight, talking about yard moves and when to use personal conveyance and when not to use it. There are some different things that are going to happen with how drivers can edit their logs and how we can edit drivers' logs. You know, from now on, if we go in and a driver says, hey, I forgot to log out, and can you fix me up? Sure, we can fix you up, but that log is not going to be switched over and those changes made until the driver certifies it. So the FMCSA has said, hey, part of this mandate is that these logs are for these drivers, and they are 100% responsible for them. So if we edit something, they're going to have to say, yeah, this is a legit thing, or if it's not, then they have the choice to deny it because it's their log.
Are those some of the biggest changes there's going to be? Like, I mean, I know I know whenever this some of this technology stuff comes along for our drivers, there's worry and concern and you know, frustration. I get it. I get all that. At the end of the day, how much change really is coming?
The worst of it we've already done. So all the guys know now that when you move that truck, there's got to be a reason for it to be moving. So we've experienced that already. You know, drivers that are, let's say they're on duty and they pull out 10 feet from the dock so they can shut the doors. Well, their log kicks them over to driving, and we don't like that. But FMCSA has done that by design, just to make sure that any time that truck is moving, that it gets accounted for something and not off-duty time. Their reasoning being, hey, if you're driving that truck, you're not taking a break. And so they have gone to really drastic measures, and you could make the argument that it's overkill, but sure, they've taken the measures to make sure that if that truck is moving, you're not on break. And so we're going to have to talk about, and we're going to talk about over the next few weeks to make sure that everybody's understanding it, but we're going to have to talk about yard move and when to use that, and personal conveyance, when it's okay to use that. The other changes that are going to really affect everybody, the biggest one is going to be when they get inspected. So it used to be the inspector would come up and get inside the truck, look at their log, and everybody's got a laminated card in their truck, say, here, officer, this is the instruction sheet for this device, and the inspector would actually be in the truck looking at their log. That's not going to happen anymore. Your logs are actually going to be transferred to a database electronically over the air. So,
wow.
Or it could even be with a flash drive, like a thumb drive. But in any case, the inspector is going to do his hours of service inspection from the comfort of his or her car or inside the scale house. It'll be electronically transferred. And that is very, very easy on the Omnitrax devices that we've got, whether you've got the 50 or the IVG. It's not a big deal. It's just something, you know, one more thing that everybody's going to have to get used to. And the cool thing is, through all this, is we have had a small group of drivers that we have already switched over. And when here in a few weeks, when we're ready to switch everybody else over, they will have not only us here in the office, but they're going to have some veteran drivers out there that have been on this for several weeks now, and they can call them up and say, hey, tell me really how this is, instead of just taking our word for it or having us read the rule book to them. We thought that was really, really important. And to all those guys that agreed to take part in that, and you've been rolling on the ELD rules now for several weeks, thank you very much, because you're going to be crucial to making sure that this goes smooth.
I know for a lot of these guys, like this stuff happens fast. You know, like they're doing their thing, they're driving every day, and then all of a sudden there's a big change. You know, but they got to know. You know, I remember sitting in meetings a year and a half ago where we as a team laid out what the plan was going to be, you know, from all of our different aspects, you know, from my side, from the communication side, and from your side, from the technical side, and from the editing side, and from the safety side, and from, you know, Carm talking about what was going to be best. Like, we were all in this room thinking about it. Now, I know it's happening quick, and it's going to feel quick, and it may be like, you know, it's, you know, some differences, but these discussions are not, I've been taking years.
Oh yeah, I mean we knew. Place. Yeah, you're right. About a year and a half ago, we started making these plans. So, we also have to respect drivers' point of views, and to them, it's something that, you know, all these things just get sprung on them, and even though we've planned forever, they don't know about it, and so. You know, I think the way we've done this is about as good as we've done anything. We knew about it far in advance, because the rulemaking procedures are so slow with the government. We at least had that going for us. But we planned. We've got this group of drivers that's testing it out. We've been putting stuff out there in small chunks, and so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But going back to what you're originally talking about, me going up to Indy, we're gonna go ahead and switch Indy over to the ELD rules. Okay. When I go up there, and that's a smaller group, so I can probably meet with just about everybody, even individually, if some one-on-one time if people have questions, and I'll spend a day and a half up there making sure that everybody's 100% comfortable. We'll go ahead and switch them on, and then I'll come back home, and we'll get the rest of the fleet switched over.
That's
and
awesome.
Be ready in plenty of time.
Technical growing pains, but we're ready for them. And I mean, I know our guys and gals may get a little frustrated, but gosh, I feel like we have such a great group of drivers that they're so good about rolling with the technological punches, so to speak.
Well, that and
they move forward.
The regulatory punches are the worst. I mean, just think about what you have to put up with as a driver. I just want to haul this freight from here to there. But there's a million rules you got to follow, and that's tough. They have one of the toughest jobs, and I'm super amazed every day how well they do at it.
Yeah. All right. Well, ELDs, other things, it's a continual battle, and we'll be here to fight it with you guys for sure.
Yep.
For sure. So we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back right after this.
Hello, I'm Jeff Olson with M&W Transportation, driver of Truck 536, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach Pugh and Chris Woody. We're just trying all kinds of fun music.
I'm all for drums.
The song that we went out to last time, I didn't even listen to it before we played it, so... Luckily, I know there's no
wow.
There's no words.
You just had faith that I'm going to push this button and some good stuff's going to come out.
And then this is okay. Just a bunch of drums. So
love drums. I want some drums.
And there it's gone. It left us. So we talked earlier about Bailey joining us today, and we kind of were messing around and stuff, but she has been a great addition to our team. Has taken on a lot of stuff. She's very gifted at what she's doing for us, and I'm very grateful for her. I know you are.
Heck yeah.
A ton for the HR and safety side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she took over more than half of what I was doing and freed me up to really go into safety full time, and she's awesome. She grabbed Paycom. She got that.
Yeah.
Way
well, I think one thing, too, that, I know Bart and I have talked about this a lot. There's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes. You and I talked about this the other day that nobody even knows about. We all have things. There's things that I do that nobody in this building has a clue that I do. But it's just, with social media and the website and things that are behind the scenes that just nobody, it just happens,
Yeah.
We all have that.
We're going to do a podcast about that sometime.
Bailey's in that boat too. I mean, she all the payment stuff, and then she helped implement a new application. You and her both
did. Applicant tracking.
The applicant tracking thing,
which
which has been a lot of fun, and it's made us more streamlined and makes us work better. So that's been awesome. But the one thing I wanted to talk about, because I'm a big giant sports fan, you are too.
Yep.
One of the cool things to me is that Bailey went to South Carolina. And she is a national champion. She won a national championship.
Yes, she did.
Did you know that?
SEC national champion. If you can't...
Are you an SEC champion, too?
No, I missed out.
Well, I mean, she...
She didn't win an SEC championship.
No,
now you're bringing up her failures.
No, she is a national champion at an SEC school.
Right.
I was on the SEC All Championship team twice.
So why don't you talk about that? Why don't you tell, for those that don't know what an equestrian is, why don't you talk a little bit about it? And this hits home because Mike's daughter, our owner, Mike McFarland, his daughter is a multi-time national champion at Auburn. Right. And you guys, I think, rode against each other. And
We never directly, not in college, but in high school growing up, we rode against each other a lot. I went to South Carolina. Go Cox. I'm allowed to say that.
Not an HR violation.
It is not.
You just made it an HR violation.
Equestrian is horseback riding. We would get questions on occasion, what's equestrian? And we would usually joke with people like on the plane, oh, it's underwater basket weaving. That was our go-to.
That's fine.
Also got asked a lot if we were the soccer team. I got asked once if we were the basketball team, and if any of you know me, I do not look like I play basketball.
Yeah, wow.
Especially at South Carolina.
That doesn't make, yeah. That would have been pretty funny. Bailey is not tall.
I am not tall, and I'm
shortest
not,
basketball team ever.
I am not athletic in that sense at all. So, yeah, it was fun. I got to do the athlete thing.
So what year did you win the national championship?
2015, my freshman year.
So you won as a freshman. That's awesome. So tell the guys, there's different.
Why didn't you win it the other? I mean, if you did so well as a freshman.
Come on, dude. You've already
you know when your team loses all of its good players, that's what happens.
Oh, I see.
You didn't carry the torch forward, obviously.
Well, there's only so much you can do when you're in.
You're only one person.
Graduating so, class is all your.
So
starters.
Most of us know football. So is there rebuilding in equestrian as well?
There is. Yeah.
Probably just like everything else.
And you can also blame the horse. So I
you
like
can.
That because, yeah. I mean,
sometimes,
what's the horse going to say? Stupid horse.
If it
this
was
is
Mr. Ed.
Garbage horse.
If Mr. Ed was alive around still. He's another one of those famous.
I had
famous
a pony named
Mr. Here.
Ed, fun fact.
I'm sure there's plenty of ponies out there and horses with Mr. Ed. So you won it your freshman year. Tell everybody, like, how does equestrian work? Like, are you jumping fences? Are you racing? Are you doing barrels? Are you roping cattle? What's
you
going
got
on?
Got one right. We jump the fences. And so they
did
have
you jump fences though?
I did not.
So you have your each like that's what
so
I'm
there's
saying,
four
like,
events. There's flat, which is dressage basically.
Explain please.
Dresses?
Dressage, it's an Olympic sport, thank you. And basically you have to do a set maneuver pattern on your horse. But it's English, they have the helmet and all the fancy.
Like getting your horse to do like dance moves and stuff.
Basically.
Okay.
Right. Then they had jumping.
You got to break it down for some of us, Bailey.
Yeah,
all right.
Please.
Okay. Well, it's
don't
been
introduce new words into the podcast. All right.
And then there was horsemanship. So that was the Western. So they had the cowboy hat, the chaps, and it's you had to do a set pattern on your horse. But it was also basically judged on how pretty you were. So you had to have a certain form in your own riding.
Not the horse's fault.
Not the horse's fault.
That on that, yeah, you would be screwed in that event.
I would win before that even started. You understand how hot I am?
Right.
Not
on.
Not quite that. And then reining, which is what I did, which is another Western event, and you have to make your horse do a sliding stop and spin and do circles, and so that's a set pattern that everyone has, and so there's usually 5 horses and 10 girls, and you ride. So 2 girls on one horse, and they ride
at the same time.
Not at the same time, but against each other. So one girl rides, then gets off, and the other girl rides, and whoever has the better score, we have judges, and they win. They get the point.
Sure, there's no politics involved either.
Never.
Yeah. So,
I have to say, because I know we made a joke about the how pretty you were and all that stuff, but you had told me a story not long after you got here, and I was asking about the whole equestrian thing, and you were talking about some of the outfits that these girls had to wear.
Yeah.
Tell Zach about and everybody about
not necessarily
what some of these things cost.
Not necessarily in college, but, you know, in the kind of in the real world,
in
the outside
world.
Of college, some of your outfits can be up to, you know, $5,000 for just a top.
Wow. Why?
Because it's full of crystals and it's sparkly and it's
pretty, diamond encrusted.
And it's, you know, I had a vest that my dad bought me as one of my last, like, this is the one, like, pretty outfit that, like, you really get and that I'm going to spend a decent amount of money on. It was a vest, and it was, like,
$1,100. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Didn't even have sleeves.
You can't do, as a father of 4 children, my kids will never be able to do anything because I can't.
Not like that.
I couldn't buy them 4 $1,100 encrusted
you know,
vests.
But, like, what like reining and stuff, you can, it's easier to do with, like, just a button-up shirt that you can buy from anywhere.
So you would you would come to the event, you have your section. So can you win a national championship in reigning, or is it all go
you
to the pool?
Now they've changed it. My senior year of college, they changed
it. So back in the old days, right?
Yeah,
the olden days when Bailey used to ride.
Like a year ago.
there are no olden days in any part of Bailey's life whatsoever.
That's true.
Not yet.
So now you can win individual business, but when you were there, you won as a group. Like
yeah,
you won
we won the overall.
So that's awesome. So a girl would get on a horse, do her ride, and then you would get on and do your ride, and then whoever. So was it? Did you want to be first or second?
It was a game. You wanted to whoever had the best horse, you know, or whatever the horse was, you know, you'd go to the home team, and we would, or if we were the home team, we would pick. What horses do we want first? Who do we want second? And then they flip a coin to see who gets to choose the horses.
Okay, so the
first.
Home team. Okay, all right.
There and was it, some strategy to it.
Now, do you bring horses to events, or were the horses that already?
You always use the home team's horses.
Okay, I mean that's got to be tough, right? If you're on the road, like talk about a home field advantage. Is it Bailey? I mean, was it that big of a deal?
It was, and it wasn't. Sometimes you'd overthink your own horse.
I mean. I can tell. So many things are going in my head right now. The first thing is, which fraternity wants to go drug the horses for us?
Yeah, exactly.
Did that ever happen?
No, they were.
I'm the first one to think about that. I find that impossible to believe.
We did have a few golf carts stolen.
Right,
but no one ever did anything.
What a great. You could. Sometimes you would overthink your own horse. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to use that somewhere.
Don't overthink your own horse.
Don't overthink your own horse.
We're going to say that sometime.
We're going to adopt that phrase.
Bailey just gave us
and use it.
Gave
that,
us
that
a,
could
another
be your sign off.
Another Southern colloquialism.
Don't overthink your own horse.
Don't overthink your own horse.
Well, Bailey has a big giant championship ring, and I love it. So
it looks like a Super Bowl
ring. If you do come in and
I wear
see
it
her,
on Fridays,
she does. She wears it on Fridays. So kind of her tradition. So if you are if you're in town. And you're in the area and you want to come by and see that, I'm sure she
now
would love.
Now I am going to have to start wearing it every Friday.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you should. I'd wear it every day.
It hurts my hand.
Yeah, it's so big.
It is large.
It'll probably weighs her hand down.
I love that truth there. You know, it hurts my hand, but I'm still wearing it because I'm a unbelievably awesome SEC
champion.
National champion.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, well, cool. Well, hey, this has been a good show, I think.
Yeah,
and hopefully, you know, we want to remind everybody, we said it earlier, we're everywhere now. iTunes, Spotify, on the website. You shouldn't have trouble finding us. And as always, the easiest way to get to us is just go to drivemw.com, click on the link where it says, you know, stories and driver news, and then you'll see the podcast there. But it's been a good day.
Yes, it has.
It's been a good week. We're looking forward to it. Hit us on social media if you want us to talk about something specific or if you've got any questions. We'd love to.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure. We would love to talk more and more about it. So thanks for joining us. I'm Zach Pugh for Chris Woody and Bailey Walters. This has been the Drive Podcast.